talk to me like I'm someone you love. A psychotherapist with decades of experience in counseling couples, Nancy Dreyfus hit upon the revolutionary practice outlined in this book during a couples therapy session in which a wife's unrelenting criticism of her husband was causing him to become emotionally withdrawn. In the midst of this, Dreyfus found herself scribbling on a scrap of paper, quote, talk to me like I'm someone you love, and gestured to the husband that he should hold it up. He did, and within seconds, the familiar power differential between the two shifted, and a gentler, more genuine connection emerged. Dreyfus was startled, then intrigued, and then motivated to create a tool that could help others. This elegantly packaged spiral-bound book features more than 100 of Dreyfus's, quote, flashcards for real life, written statements that express what we wish we could communicate to the person we love, but either can't find the right words or the right tone in which to say it. A one-of-a-kind practical relationship tool, talk to me like I'm someone you love, will help couples to stop arguing and begin healing. Nancy Dreyfus, PSYD, is a psychotherapist and couples therapist with more than 2 decades of experience. Nancy, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Good morning,
Nancy.
It's
lovely to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. My husband and I both loved your book, and he got a kick out of, like, you know, pointing particular flashcards and saying, I think this one's good for you. Now, I described in the introduction how you came upon this. Now, is that something you'd been thinking of before, or did it just sort of hit you in that moment? Like, wait a second.
No. And probably the reason it hit me in the moment is that the couple in the office who were giving me such a hard time reminded me of my parents.
Oh.
I grew up every day of my life listening to my mother scream at my father.
Oh.
And at a certain point, that woman called that man asinine. My mother's favorite word for my father. And I kind of froze. And I didn't know what else to do. And something in me said, write a written message, and we would see what would happen. And I just want to say I'm very happy that your husband got involved, because often
yes.
we feel men are not that interested in conscious communication or emotional literacy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a book that I like to say is, you know, typically women think that they're clued in, and sometimes that their husbands are the worst clueless. And, you know, what I like to tell people about the book, and I'm pretty clued in, after all, I wrote this book. However, when triggered by my partner, I'm clueless.
Yeah, that definitely can happen, where suddenly you're saying something that you wish you didn't say, or there's always a tone problem, where I'm always saying to my husband, there's a tone, and he's saying, no, you're the one with the tone. No, you're the one with the tone.
Well,
so.
Actually, this is one of the pieces, Lisa, that I have given the most thought to. Like, why is it that a written message will get through?
Yes.
Sometimes when even very sincere words don't, and I'm gonna tell you what I think is more than theory. I'm actually starting to think it's science.
Oh.
That when we're arguing with our partner or disconnected from them, we're in a fight or flight mode. Our partner in some way has become less than friend. Maybe not a full-blown enemy, but not a friend. And so that our entire body is oriented towards perceiving danger. So you and I could be having an upset, and I truly was feeling conciliatory. And if I said to you, you know, I'm really sorry, and 93% of me was sincere and present, you would hear the 7% of lingering upset in my voice tone, and you would take that more seriously than what was sincere. You know, one of my favorite flashcards is, what can I say that would make you feel understood? And when my partner holds it up, I melt. But if either of us were to say it to each other in the midst of an upset, it would probably sound like, okay, so what can I say that would make you feel understood?
Okay.
My partner holds that up to me, and I melt.
Yeah.
But if we, and there's a lot of goodwill between us, but if we were in the midst of having an upset, and either one of us, with the best of intentions, verbalized it to each other, probably because we had just been upset with each other, there'd be a lingering voice tone, an all right already voice tone, I call it, and it would sound like, okay, so what could I say that would make you feel understood? There'd be a little bit of probably impatience or anxiety, and that's what people hear rather than the sincerity of the message. People say to me, how can something change so quickly? And, you know, I feel a little awkward. Sometimes it feels like when I say I can reverse your interaction in less than a minute, people think that I'm selling snake oil. Except, if you neutralize voice tone, and people just see the purity of the message, unless you're dealing with a psychopath. You know, who wouldn't melt if you held up a note that said, I'm afraid if I say I'm sorry, you'll make it all my fault? Or a very favorite one, I realize I'm overreacting. Can you give me a minute to get sane again? I will say about that particular card, nothing makes our partners happier than when we've acknowledged we've been insane.
Yeah, you're a genius.
Believe me, I have given this tons of thought. It's the very act that in the midst of an upset, we could say probably the person who is the sanest, leaves the field maybe for 30 seconds, a minute and a half, whatever it is, and gets the book, takes a moment to find a flashcard and hold it up. And, you know, that whole transaction is I'm breaking the pattern, I'm giving you a message that our connection is more important than whatever stupid thing we're arguing about. And if you really think about it, my holding up the card is a gift to you. So I'm giving you something, and you're receiving it. And I always feel a little funny saying it. It's a little corny, but I have a corny streak, that giving and receiving are the building blocks of love.
Yes,
so we
true.
Have engaged in a transaction, Lisa, where we have given and we've received, and we realized this is all we've wanted in the first place.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Like I said, I love your book. And I wanted to, if we can just talk about the different parts. You have a part one, which is shifting gears. And what I went ahead and did is I picked out my favorite flashcard from each one. And in the shifting gears, there's one quote, I know you want to repair this, but right now I just need to be in my own space. Please try not to take this personally. That is my husband's. And he said, see, because, you know, I'm always like, what's wrong? And I think for a lot of men, they just kind of need that time to just sort of go in their cave and, you know, figure it out or have their time.
That is absolutely true, that physiologically men are actually far more reactive than women, and they do something that's called flooding. And I'm going to share the most amazing piece of information with you, which isn't 100% relevant to my book, but really is, that research has been done that within the first month of life, if a little girl feels disconnected from her mother, a baby girl, she will feel fear. A three-week-old baby boy will feel shame.
Wow.
So that part of the reason that men get so reactive when there's an upset is that they feel humiliated. You know, if you're upset with them, if you're distanced from them, the emotions they feel are actually far more wounded and primitive. And I love that you love that card. I wish more men would use it, because the beauty of it is I'm taking space from you, Lisa, if I'm your husband.
Yes.
But I'm doing it in a relational way, which is all you really need.
Yes. Because then later he'll come to me because I'll say, I'm not upset or I'm fine. I just need, I go, oh, well, here's what was wrong. It's like, well, why didn't you tell me right away? And I think women want to know right away. Well, I wasn't ready. I needed to just process. And so, yeah, so that one is wonderful. And in part two, it's called Setting Limits. And I picked, rather than just criticize me, can you tell me what you want in a more positive way? I like that. I like that.
I like that, too. And you know what? It's a real challenge sometimes for people to do that, because we have all learned that criticizing someone is the way to get them to change.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you say that to someone, they can't automatically do it. We are not used to putting things in a positive way. We are used to saying, I can't stand how you touched me, rather than could your touch be a little more gentle?
Yes.
Putting something in a positive way. And I love that you love that card.
Yeah, I do. And it's funny, we're on the same wavelength, because on part three, feeling vulnerable, I actually chose, I'm afraid that if I say I'm sorry, you'll make everything all my fault, which you just mentioned a couple minutes ago.
Well, actually, I really love that card, because it allows you to be conciliatory without trusting, without fearing that you're going to be blamed for everything. You know, sometimes if I say I'm sorry, I'm going to want you to also take your part. You know, a great use of that card, I give this example in my book, is that your partner has said to you, do you really need that third brownie? And you get violent. And you realize that your violence is inappropriate, but you're afraid if you apologize, he won't see that he shouldn't have said what he said about the brownie.
Oh, that makes sense. that.
So,
okay.
You know, it's a great card, and it's a very human condition. And this entire book is about getting people comfortable with I'm sorry, actually.
Yeah, that's really important. I think a lot of people, I felt that way before, that if you say it, then they're not going to see where they played a part in the squabble or the situation. And speaking of taking responsibility, that's part four. I like this one. You are not being crazy. I can see why you'd be upset with me.
So
I think that's good. Like, if you know that you did something and they have a right to feel upset, people need to feel validated that they have, you know.
Right. I have to say your instincts, Lisa, are great. If you can say to someone, I can see why you'd be upset with me, they will love you.
Yeah, I chose. I know I'm pretty shut down right now, but I'll promise I'll be back. That's another one, again, that I think is good for men. I'm sure it's good for women, too, but I've heard that more from my girlfriends. That
I know you're pretty shut down right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so unbelievable just to give someone the space to be shut down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then part six, getting clarification. What can I say that would make you feel understood?
Right.
That one's beautiful. That would melt, make you melt, really.
Actually, after I had the experience with the Talk to Me Like I'm Someone You Love, which is the title card of the book, and that was sort of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
The next card I came up with is, what can I say that would make you feel understood? Because that's what melts me. And just so you know, Lisa, all of these cards come from actual sessions with clients and interactions with clients, as well as my own life. My current partner, and a man I truly love, one day I came home, and over our bed, he hadn't told me, he had framed a flashcard.
Oh.
Right now, I don't need a lecture. Love. And sometimes he actually has another one elsewhere. It says, right now, I don't need a shrink. So he can just lie in bed and point to the car.
That's really convenient. I like that.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Now, earlier we were talking about saying I'm sorry, and that's what I loved about part seven and apologizing. I chose two. One was just simply, I'm sorry, and the other one was, please, can you forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
And I like both.
Why do you think there would be something very powerful for you, Lisa, about someone holding up a card that said, I'm sorry, rather than just saying it?
It just seems more, well, you're not going to get the tone. It just seems more sincere and lovely. I don't know how to describe it.
There's a piece
of
it around the card and getting the flash card,
mm-hmm.
that the effort involved.
Oh, yes.
There's something about someone taking the effort. And, you know,
that's
I will just say, in case any of your listeners are thinking of this, well, do you really think in the midst of an argument we're going to use this? And this is what I want to say to anybody who has that question. If you're in front of the ATM machine and you need some money, are you going to be deterred because there are two people ahead of you and you have to wait? You know, if you're at Starbucks, you know, you expect that you're going to wait for your latte. And, you know, for crying out loud, this is your relationship.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. And I just want people to take that in, that the speed with which we live life, I mean, if it took 2 minutes to go get the book, to reverse a miserable interaction, to make you feel connected to your partner and your partner feel loved and seen, you know, like, I want to say, get real.
Oh, completely. Now, on part eight, and we only have a couple minutes left, is loving. You are precious, and you deserve to be treated that way. That is so sweet. I'd start crying.
I know.
That is,
I know,
really
and
beautiful.
And, you know, again, and I don't know whether it's sad or not sad, but it's the way it is. There is something about, again, the written message that conveys some sincerity. And one of the things I just want to say about the book is, you know, my goal is to create more emotional maturity on the planet. You know, if people read this book and actually never flash the cards, but learn things about how they want to talk to each other, you know, to me, that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, it is. You really are doing such an amazing, I mean, your work is just incredible. It makes such a difference in the world. And then part nine, making up, I would love it if we could just be quiet and hold each other. That's really sweet. That's really sweet.
I like your sensibilities.
Well, thank you. I like yours. You know, Nancy, you've got to come back, like, on a regular basis, if you'd like, because I would love for you to come back maybe every other month and do a little segment and be our show psychologist, because you're so fabulous. I just feel such a connection talking with you. So
it's been absolutely lovely. We'll be in touch.
Wonderful. And I want to thank you so much. And tell, how can people contact you?
They can, right now my website is not yet up.
Okay.
So there's an announcement page at nancydreyfus.com. But
okay,
if people would like a link to more information, right now they can write me at nancy@nancydreyfus.com.
Terrific.
D-R-E-Y-F-U-S, nancy@nancydreyfus.com, and I will send them a link.
Oh, Nancy, this was so wonderful, and I will be in touch. And keep listening, everyone. In a moment, we'll be joined by Susan Piver, author of The Wisdom of a Broken Heart. So stay